As Paul said earlier, this morning's reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 15, reading from verses 1 to 18. The year for cancelling debts. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel any loan they have made to a fellow Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone among their own people, because the Lord's time for cancelling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your fellow Israelite owes you. However, there need be no poor people among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you if only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbour this wicked thought about the seventh year, the year for cancelling debts is near, so that you do not show ill will towards the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. Freeing servants, if any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you for 6 years, in the seventh year you must let them go free. And when you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Give to them as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. But if your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you, because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, then take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he will become your servant for life. Do the same for your female servant. Do not consider it a hardship to set your servant free, because their service to you these 6 years has been worth twice as much as that of a hired hand. And the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do.
Thank you, Jan. Let me just pray for David before he... Lord God, we do thank you for David. We thank you for his long service to you, and we thank you for all the things that you have given him to say through your word. I pray that his words will become your word to us and that we will respond to it. Give him freedom in this passage on freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's what comes from playing the musical instrument. Well, it's great to look at the word with you this morning. Well, I know our praying for Tony and Nancy over at Pinchbeck has been a great shock to them, obviously, as a doctor say there's no hope. But I thank you for your prayers. I've known them for just over 10 years. I was the moderator over there for a while and therefore interviewed them and encouraged them, or at least encouraged the congregation to have them. And then I became his mentor, as this was his first pastorate. So we know them very well, and I know they really do appreciate your prayers, and they're happy for anyone to know that and to pray. They just want prayer. So if you're part of another prayer group, as long as it, you know, is a prayer group, then feel free to share it with them too. I know they'll be blessed by that. And more encouraging news, last week I was at Sutton-on-Sea Baptist, no I wasn't, Sutton St. James, too many Suttons, Baptist Church, and they send you their greetings. God's doing some really great things over there, and it was great to be a part of their service last week. Also, I just want to bring to your attention on the sheet that there's a prayer meeting tonight at 7 o'clock for the leadership. And I think it's our opportunity to show the leadership how much we care for them. And it's just a prayer time. We're going to come and pray for God's continued protection and wisdom for those who lead us in any way at all. So do come. You know, we say we love and appreciate our leadership, and certainly we do. And one way of showing that is being here tonight at 7 o'clock. Of course, we all love to come to a prayer meeting, don't we?
Yes.
For those of you who are telling porkies right there, I will pray for forgiveness, but never mind about that. But it'd be great to for all of us to come. I shall be here and Rosie will be here because we want to support our leaders in prayer. So do come and join us. That'll be a great time.
Excuse me.
I once, many years ago, I went to a church to preach, and it was a very traditional church, very proper church, and they had, it was quite early really on in the time of microphones, and they had one on a stand quite close to the pulpit that I had to stand behind, which was good because no one could see my knees knocking in those days, and so underneath there was a jug with some water, so I thought, well, I'll pour this just before I preach, but it was, you know, one of those carafe things. And so I thought I'd do it ever so discreetly, so in a moment of quiet just before they were going to ask me to speak, I did this, and all you heard was go, 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 go. So tough. I had a drink of water. Great. Well, we're going to look at this wonderful passage this morning about debts, about slavery, and about freedom from those things. Debts, of course, is something that I'm sure the majority of us, all of us, at some point in our lives have experienced, whether it be borrowing some money from your parents, pay them back. Or whether it be a loan for something or a mortgage or you got into debt for some other way. Each one of us at some time in our lives, and quite possibly at this time in your life, we have some debt to pay back. We need to return that and be free from it. And we look forward to that day that we can do that. And here in this wonderful book of Deuteronomy, God is dealing with that and with slavery. And both things are a sense of slavery. Whether you're a slave to debt or a slave to a master, you're still bound, aren't you? And so this wonderful passage deals with that amazing subject and takes his people through that and shows how they're to be freed from that situation. In my late teens, I wanted a bit of extra money. And a friend of mine told me about an evening job that I could earn some money from. So I thought, that's great. And the qualifications fitted me well. You had to be a strong person physically. You had to be a tormenting type of character. I can see your knees are shaking right now. And you had to be very persuasive because the job was a debt collector. And so you had to go around and knock on people's doors who were about as happy to see you as a hole in their head and knock on their door and say, please give me some money. And you can tell that I fit the qualifications of being persuasive and frightening, but not surprised that that job didn't last too long. But debt can roll over each one of us so easily. Debt can creep on us when we're not looking. And so it was for the people of that time. And so we come to this passage, which breaks into three parts. First of all, to verse 11, it's dealing with debts and being freed from them. And then from 12 to 18, it's dealing with slavery and being free from that. And then it goes on and ends about dealing with the firstborn of the flocks. I've not been asked to cover that bit of the passage this morning. There we go. But the first two we're going to. And so this passage is dealing with the facility and the ability to be free from these things that would shackle us. So first of all, then, he talks about this idea of cancelling debt. It says in verse 1, at the end of every 7 years. Seven was a wonderful number in the Bible. It's the number of completeness, perfection, the number of God. It's a great number if you look throughout the Bible. 7 days, and you can just go through it, can't you? 6 days God created, 7 days he rested, it was complete. All aspects of society were affected by this awful thing. But here was this seventh year when they were to be freed from the debts and freed from slavery. It's a humanitarian aid to the people of God's time. It's also a challenge to us, isn't it? You know, when we are there and things are happening to us, to be concerned about those who challenge us in some ways. I don't know if I told you this, but in one of my first churches, we had a special meeting coming on, and in the in that meeting, a guy came in about halfway through who was a good old-fashioned tramp. You know what I mean by that, you know, the bottom of the shoe never met the top of the shoe, they didn't speak to each other, his clothes hadn't been off his back for at least 6 years, and eau de cologne was a total mystery to him. And so he sat down and I went to speak to him afterwards and I said to him, it's great to have you with us, as I'm the minister here and it's lovely to see you here and welcome. And he said, but no one wants me here. So I said, well, of course they do. He said, well, no one's come up to me. I said, there is a reason for this. I said, excuse me for saying to you, but you do stink a bit. Well, it's good to be honest, and God just blessed us with that man. He kept coming until they moved him on. But sometimes we're challenged, aren't we, by things around us, people in debt, people who don't meet our criteria, who don't fit where we want them to be. And so this was a situation that God was dealing right here. Every 7 years, they were to be released. Now, there are a couple of ways of thinking this. Different theologians go different ways. There are two thoughts on this idea of these releases of debts. One says that they were temporary release, that it was a relief for a year and then you could get your feet back on the ground when you got onto the next set of 6 years. Others say it was more permanent and that it was dealt with. Either way, even if that was so, there was always a possibility, of course, that the debt could be repaid if they felt able to and willing to. I'll let you sort out which one you think, but it appears to be me to be the first, but you work with that and you go with that one. But it all came down to the fact that here was a different group of people. To us, this may seem very strange, whichever of those two ways you go, I don't mind, but it seems very strange. But there's a reason, because these were God's special people. They were chosen by him. Their life was to be different. News for you. You are God's chosen people. You are called and loved by him. Your lives are to be different too. And so here was this challenge. Here were these chosen people. But there are a few things about this debt release. In verse 2, we see that it was for their people. It wasn't to give the world your money away. It was your people, this community. It was to be a community of love and fellowship. It was a community where all people were going to be equal. Therefore, it was a community where those who had finance could help those who didn't. Those who were unable could help those who were able. They were their fellow Israelites they were to share. And then they were told that that was so that there would be no needy, no poor people among them. That the debt was for an Israelite and so that it was not to be a burden to them. It says that the debt was for an Israelite and it says that it was every creditor shall cancel any loan they have made to a fellow Israelite. Verse 2. And someone has suggested that the idea of letting go, and it seems to be in the Bible, is something, talks about things literally that you let go. Some verses say to cancel, to put aside, but it's literally to let go. There are things in our lives and maybe in yours today that you need to let go of. Fears, concerns, anxiety, anger against people, things, whatever. But God releases us from these things, and there may be things that you need to be released from. God's people were to be holy, separate. Things were done differently. Chapter 14, verse 2 says, "You are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples of the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. He speaks that over them. He speaks that over us. And I've got a piece of paper that's got stuck to the next bit of paper. You can't do this quietly. You have to admit you have a problem. Yeah, I think, thank you. It's lovely when things go well, isn't it? Thank you very much. Thank you. And so God's people were to be separate from him. It says very clearly, and we remember ourselves again, I have lost totally the plot on this thing. So you'll have to, I don't know if I'm even on the right screen right now. Right, there we go. So it was to be an equal society where people were working together. It's holy people, no poor among them, no unequal people. It says in Exodus 22, verse 25, if you lend money to one of my people among you who is needy, do not treat it like a business. Do not charge interest. Here was to be something that was given. And these laws were all about equality. Excuse me, I just need to know where I am. That's right. And so it was all about obeying his law and not to be tight-fisted. It's strange, isn't it, that it says here to have no poor among them. Then read, there will always be poor people in the land in verse 11. We'll come to that a little later. But it's not a compromise. Chris Wright, you may have heard his name, given that's right. Chris Wright says this. I've really lost the plot where I am. This screen's gone dead. So I really don't even know where I am. I'll pick it up in a minute. Chris Rice says this. It makes an interesting comment on verse 11. He says, attention so obvious to us must also have been obvious to the author or editor of the original text and thus must be deliberate. This wasn't a mistake. This wasn't God changing his mind. This is God making a deliberate comment. There must never be any poor among you, but he knew that there would be times when, of course, that would happen, and they could do something about it. It's not a contradiction. It's God bringing things into being. And we see very clear that this continued. If we look at Acts chapter 4, 32 to 34, we read that all the believers, and this was a new church, coming, being built by God, and it says that all the believers had everything in common, that they were one in heart. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. They shared everything. Then verse 34, there were no needy people among them. God's plan here was being fulfilled. Even in the early church, it was still working. But it was conditional on obeying the law. It says that you are to do this. This was God laying down a guidance that they were to follow through. And we see this same principle in verses 7 to 11, where he instructs the people not to be hard-hearted. There we are. Not to be tight-fisted or but to be open-handed, not to close their door on poor people, not to put themselves first, but to work together for this wonderfully equal society he was working towards. Then he says it's not to be about business. It's not about charging interest. It's about being equal before God. It's not being a Scrooge saying, I'm not going to share with you. Notice what it says in chapter 23, verses 19 to 20. Do not charge a fellow Israelite interest. You may charge a foreigner interest because they're not part of God's people. But part of my people, you are not to charge interest to them. You are to loan the money to them, give it to them, not to treat it like a business deal. And so here we have this idea of this 7 years. Now, there may be some among you who think to yourself, if I'd been there, I know what I would have done. If anyone came to me 2 months before the seventh year for a loan, tough, I wouldn't give it to them because I'm just not going to get it back, am I? I have no chance of that. But here it says not to do that. Be careful not to harbour this very wicked thought that the seventh year, the year of cancelling debts, is near, so that you show no ill will. This was absolutely an open-handed thing. Nothing wrong, of course, in business deals. That's absolutely fine. But this was God's people. This was fellowship among them. It seems to us to be quite unfair that someone with money should share. But this was an evening out. God was making sure that each one gave and that each one shared. If we were to remember the story in 1 Kings 17, where this woman, Elijah, went and said, "Give me some food." And she said, "I only have a little left." But he said, "Make it for me first. Put me first. Give that away. And you'll never go." And she never went without. God worked this principle in her, that she shared and it would be paid back. So how does this speak to us? We need to move on. But what does this mean to us? Paul mentioned it a little bit earlier. Thanks for preaching my sermon. Saves me the time. Wonderfully, but he just shows, because he doesn't know my notes. It says this, that when we were dead in our sins, in the uncircumcision of our flesh, God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Notice what it says, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness that stood against us. Jesus cancelled our debts to him, because Christ paid the price for our sin. Jesus died on the cross that we can be forgiven, and we owe him that debt. But here that debt was paid. But like the Israelites, we can come back to him. We can start to work for him and share for him according to his will. Jesus cancelled not just our debts, but the record of our debts. To say that I cancel your debt is one thing, but to throw up the paperwork, burn it, is another. That's what Jesus did. But we're not just free. Notice it says we're welcomed. It's not just about the legal side, but it's about the fellowship. Not only did he free us from our sins, but he welcomes us into his family. In fact, it says that it's paid by his death on the cross. Sin itself, it says, is nailed to the cross. We have a saying, don't we, which says, talks about being paid on the nail. It actually comes from a place in Bristol, just out of interest, where they used to have these nails, or four of them still there, on the streets. And when business deals were done, the money would be put down on there, and that was the end of the deal. It was paid on the nail. Jesus paid our debt with the nail. We are free if we know him as Lord and Saviour. What a wonderful picture. We go from that story, that thing in Deuteronomy 15, where he's showing a physical freedom of debt. And here we have a spiritual freedom of our debt because of sin. But then we get to this idea of slavery. But as I said earlier, there's different slaves. Whether a slave to debts or whether a slave to masters, it's just a form of slavery. And of course, as we heard in our prayers and also Paul mentioned, there's modern day slavery. There's a report from Lincolnshire Police about how much slavery there is even in our own area. We, of course, know of the Rooney family from North Lincolnshire, and they're dealing with that. It's a modern day thing. So this passage in Deuteronomy is something that we need to learn for our day as well, this modern day slavery. But also in our own lives, what can we become a slave to? What do we need releasing from this morning? There will be prayer, and we have a God who can release us from whatever he's binding us down. Again, this passage is clear right from the start. Any of your people, this applies to. Slavery, of course, in our day and then were very different. Slavery these days, of course, means all sorts of awful things. It can talk about torture and terrible things. Slavery was mainly as a work thing. But God wanted to release them from that. It says in Deuteronomy 24, verse 7, it says here that if someone is caught kidnapping a fellow Israelite and treating or selling them as a slave, the kidnapper must die. Today, that's what happens, but that's not what they're talking about. It was slaves who were there to work, because if you were poor, if you owed money, if you had no money, slavery was better than nothing. At least you were safe and you had something to do. Slavery was similar to debt. It was for his people working together. And again, it was the seventh year that they were to be released. When you release them, it says something interesting. Do not send them away empty-handed. So it wasn't just about setting people free. He goes on. It says, supply them, verse 14, supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, your winepress. Give it to them as the Lord your God has blessed you. God blessed them, so they bless others. All we have is because God gave it to us. Therefore, when we give, we're only giving what God has given to us. We're simply passing it on. And that's what they were to do, not just to set them free, but to set them free and bless them. And we have a picture of that, a wonderful picture in the book of Ruth. Of course, we have to go to Ruth, don't we? We can't ignore the picture of Ruth. When Ruth, of course, was a girl who was married to, was a daughter-in-law, and there was a terrible famine in the land at that time. And many people moved to foreign lands for help. Some of the foreign lands were providing the help, so they moved away. A man named Elimelech took his wife Naomi and his two sons, Mahon and Chilion, and they went to Moab for help. But his sons died, he died, and that left a mother with two daughters. She let them, notice, let them go free. This wasn't slavery, of course, it was family. But said, you go where you want to, I'm going to go to my homeland and get some help. But Ruth said, no, I'm going with you. She went, and when she got there, she did exactly what Scripture tells us to do. It says, when you reap the harvest of your land in Leviticus 23, 22, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord. They were left there to be gathered, and that's what Ruth did. She went there and she gathered the... But of course, for those of you who know the story, it's a romantic one. Hard-hearted. It really was really romantic. It was a, thank you, love story. We're still in February. You know, the 14th is not that long away. And of course, they got married. All because Boaz obeyed the law. Of course, we know that Boaz's mum, his mother, was a prostitute, Rahab, who was set free. And here was a woman who was gleaning the fields. And they are in the line of Jesus. They are his foreparents. It's great, isn't it? A prostitute and someone who's got no money. But Boaz did it because the law said, God said. Listen, if Boaz hadn't done what God asked him to, the line of Jesus wouldn't have been as intended. If you don't do what God asked you to, well, you're out of his will. Something may well not happen. Of course, God has a plan B and will always do something, but it's best to work with God. And that's the story of Ruth. A Presbyterian minister from the 19th century points to this. He says the verb in Hebrew means to adorn his neck with gifts. That's what they would do when they sent the slave away. They sent them being blessed and provided for. But one last thing we need to look at, because it's a wonderful thing. And it says this. I'll let you read that while I get some water. I've been given two pieces of advice to keep your voice going. One is to drink water, which I've just done, and the other one is to puff out. So I did that just before I preached, and it steamed up my glasses. So the water works, the other one, not so sure. Here it says something. If your servant, verse 16, says to you, I do not want to leave you because he loves you and your family. This is the servant, the slave. If he says, I've got used to you, I love you, I enjoy being here, then he can be a permanent feature. He can stay with you. And to do that, you take him to the door of your house and you make a hole in his ear with an oar or pierced instrument and you pierce his ear. Now, some of you are looking quite amazed at having your ears pierced. Just look at some of the ladies, probably some of the men. You know, and that's what they did. It was a sign that I have committed myself. I am a willing servant. It was both relational, I've got to know my master and appreciate them. It was also financial because they had that stability. And notice what it says in verse 18. Do not consider it a hardship to set your servant free, because their service to you these 6 years has been worth twice as much as that of a hired servant. The Lord will bless you. So in closing, what does that also say to us? We've seen that we have been set free from our debts, that we have Christ paid our debt on the cross. But we also have another choice. It says in Romans 6, verse 6, it says this: we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And then in verse 16, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone, pierce your ear, give your life to Christ, become his willing servant, when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. We are all subject to something, whether we are subject to Christ, who is able to lead us, save us, bless us and keep us, or whether it be to our own ends, to Bible call it sins. The choice is ours. But these wonderful passages show us this. Christ paid our debt. We are free. But not be free to run away. Be free to come back and say, I'm going to be your willing servant, Lord. Pierce my ear. I want to be yours and follow you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have this wonderful picture in Deuteronomy. That picture where you looking after your people, making an equal society, a society of fairness. And after the 7 years, debts were ended. Slaves were set free. And thank you, Lord, that in this year, in this age, indeed throughout eternity since Christ came, our debt to Christ has been paid, and our slavery to sin has been set free, that we might come to you. Know that piercing on the hands of Christ can be our piercing in our ear as we become your willing servants. Lord, help us to look at the things that bind us, to deal with those, to worship and serve only you. Amen.